Bleak Expectations by Mark Evans. Chapter the Fourth, A Young Adulthood Bitterly Dismantled.
Damn, blast, hell's teeth and God's elbow. Lily!
There is no need to shout, Father.
Shouting made this country great. The sun never sets on the British Empire, because if it ever did, someone would shout at it and it would have to come right back up again.
Oh, Father.
Where is that accursed journalist Sarkwell?
Mr. Sarkwell, sir.
Good morning.
Mr. Sarkwell, you are late.
I regret to say, Sir Philip, that I was delayed by a demonstration in Parliament Square. Some women had chained themselves to railings in protest at their place in society.
Nonsense. They did not chain themselves. They were chained to the railings by their husbands, so that they were not stolen while the men were inside at important meetings.
Father!
These protests are merely a foolish fad.
Father, that is not true. When you're a suffragette all the way, from your first cigarette to your last dying day.
And I can't abide women smoking, unless they've been set fire to. But enough of these pleasantries. Are you ready to continue with my life story, Mr. Sarkwell?
Oh, of course, sir. Once I have retrieved my pen from this box here...
Oh, that's a large box for a pen.
Well, no ordinary pen, this. It is a new type of pen invented by science.
How modern of you.
And here it is.
Well, that's not a pen, it's a peacock.
No, it is a pencock. The bird has been filled with special ink. All you have to do is remove a feather to use as a quill. Only it does make the peacock frightfully cross. The feathers grow back over time, and to refill it, you simply place the animal in a bucket of ink. It is entirely organic and environmentally sustainable.
Not so sustainable now.
You shot my pencock.
Pens should be like women, silent and disposable. Now, continue.
Yes,
Perhaps you might like to borrow my pen.
Oh, that is most kind of you. Thank you.
How does it write?
Perfectly.
Stop being nice to each other and listen. My story continues now. My sister Poppy had died, and I was trapped in a London workhouse with my best friend, Harry Biscuit, my sister Pippa, and my father's old companion, Mr. Parsimonious, the most generous of men. The workhouse was run by Beadle Hardthrasher, a man who was as kind as he was jolly, which was not at all. To atone for your hideous, unchristian poverty, I will work you into the arms of the ever-loving Jesus. By which I mean death. Harry and I were put to work in a bottling factory, where my job was to test the bottles, which I did by having them smashed over my head. Bow your head. A bottle as weak as the human spirit.
Oh,
what? You cry out? Did our Lord Jesus cry out on the cross? No. He recited poetry and composed witty epigrams. Right, next bottle. Bow your head.
Really? Ow!
Behold, a good, strong bottle. Let us test it once more. Alas. This bottle's faith has fallen short.
Harry's job was to pick up the pieces of broken bottle with his tongue.
The Lord gave us brooms and brushes, but they make us proud. And proudity is a sin. The tongue is your true path to glory.
Yes, sir.
We worked a 23-and-a-half-hour day, and in the remaining half an hour, we had to eat, sleep, and perform 27 minutes of prayers.
And Holy Ghost, amen.
Amen.
And so to bed.
Arise, sinners! Sleeping is blasphemy.
I feared we would not long survive. One night, I was helping Mr. Parsimonious to peel potatoes. Not to be eaten. Beadle Hardthrasher believed that potatoes were shaped like the face of Satan, and so must be peeled into the shape of the cross.